Hour number two of Sports Talk begins as we very much appreciate the time of the Senior Director of Broadcasting for play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith. Mike's appearance is brought to you by our friends at Go Forth Tires. Locally family-owned and operated for over 47 years, Go Forth Tires can outfit any vehicle. If they don't have it, they'll find it. Visit GoForthTire.com. Mike, another impressive comeback by the Titans. Unfortunately, this one fell just short. Great to have you on the show again. What was last Sunday's showdown between the Titans and the Steelers like for you?
Well, I think in retrospect, John, you watch that ball game and you say, these are two heavyweights. It's 12 rounds, and, you know, we had a couple of standing eight counts and, you know, didn't get knocked out, but certainly lost on points, quite literally. They made more plays in the course of the ball game, particularly on third down. Our third down defense was poor, and we continue to have problems with that, and it bit us in the rear end, that and special teams issues. But, I mean, if you just like the NFL, that's a pretty good game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers being in your hometown and, you know, getting a chance to play them and have a national spotlight the way we did, it was a lot of fun. And I think the Titans are hungry for more of those types of matchups. If they're going to get there, they're going to have to get better. And that's something we've been talking about. But when you're 5-0, you talk about it and everybody's like, well, he's just, you know, poor mouthing or whatever. Listen, if you're giving up 61% third down conversions to the opponents, that's not good. And it's going to keep you from being special, because the really good teams are going to be able to exploit that. One of them did last Sunday, and the Titans have got to start getting that fixed in a hurry.
It looked like the Steelers were just simply going to run away and hide during the first half. But what was most impressive to you about the way the Titans swung and fought back?
John, I think the fact that they kept them scoreless the last 25 minutes, that they found ways to make plays. They, you know, especially Jayon Brown in pass coverage. I mean, he was phenomenal. You don't see many linebackers go down the field and cover the way he did. The run defense was a lot better in the second half, which was a big factor. The Titans got a big play from their offense in A.J. Brown. They needed that. Here's the other thing, too, is the Titans didn't have the football a whole lot in this game. They saw the Steelers win time of possession by over 18 minutes, so that means the offense didn't run a lot of plays. And yet they still put up 24 points. You know, it wasn't their best day. It wasn't anything to write home about. But when you don't have a particularly good day and you're still able to score 24 points against the best defense in the league, you're on the right track. 2 years ago, if that happens, John, we score 6 points. We kicked two field goals. That's how that game would have gone. Now with where this offense is, there's big playability. There's the ability to drive the ball against a good defense. That's something where you read into it and you say, okay, that's pretty positive. And that gives us an idea that's really where we are offensively, because we were able to do that on what was a quote-unquote down day.
Mike, is there a common thread as to the inefficiency on third down defense?
To me, Jimmy, it's tackling. I just don't think the open field tackling has been particularly good. We've seen teams throw short of the line to gain, and then you have a chance to get them on the ground, and you don't do it. And, you know, that's a real key in all of this. I mean, all of the double-digit conversions are the ones that break your heart. If it's third and one, third and two, that's one thing. You know, that's the NFL, and, you know, that's just how it works. But if you got somebody third and 11, you got to get off the field. And the Titans are simply not doing that right now.
Among the most complete teams in the AFC, where would you put Pittsburgh?
Oh, they're top. You know, they're exactly, to use the Dennis Green line, they're exactly who we thought they were. Their defense is great. Roethlisberger's playing well. They got a bunch of receivers, veteran offensive line. They're really good on special teams. They're the number one team in the league right now. But it's October. And like I said on your show last week, They didn't, at the end of this game, they didn't hand out a trophy. The president didn't land and declare somebody the national champion. It's one game. And the Steelers won it, and they showed what they can do in these situations. I think they showed what they can be, which is very exciting for them, because there's obviously a lot of football left, and everybody's going to have to improve if they're going to want to win a championship. But the Steelers are like the Titans in one respect. Our schedule is much harder over the last 10 games than the first six were. They go to Baltimore this week. You know, we know what that's all about, especially when those two get together. That's the best game of the week. It doesn't matter if you had a Super Bowl in every other game. Baltimore-Pittsburgh is as good as it gets. And so they're going to find out a lot about themselves, you know, in the next few weeks. And we are too. You know, we're in exactly the same position. We have a lot to prove, and they do as well. I think the only team in the AFC that doesn't really have something to prove is Kansas City.
So how close are the Titans to being among the most complete teams in the AFC?
Now, not when you're giving up 61% third down conversions. I mean, last year we gave up 36%. I mean, think about that, 25% higher. I mean, it's really just unheard of. Our kicking game continues to be bothersome. You know, we continue to not be complete enough there. I think our return teams are pretty good, and generally our coverage team's been pretty good, gave up a big return in this game. Offensively, I think we're about as good as anybody. You know, when you're scoring 31 points a game, you know, that's okay. You know, you're on pace to get close to 500 points. There's nothing wrong with that. But our defense has to play a lot better. I mean, you've got single-digit sacks, and you're giving up third-down conversions. Your red zone defense has not been good enough. But on the flip side of that, Jimmy, with it being October, you actually want areas where you can improve. You want to have that, because this is such a long season. I mean, right now we know that Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State are probably the three best teams in college football. It's a pretty good chance that doesn't change by the time we get to January. Who the best teams are in the NFL – often change month to month based on a variety of factors. So there's a long way to go. We do some things really well, but we've got to get a lot better if we're going to be a championship caliber team.
Mike, how do you think the offensive line performed in this first game without Taylor Lewan, who was lost for the season, unfortunately?
You know, John, they did okay. Ty Sambrelo did okay at left tackle, and Roger Saffold had a good game at left guard. Steelers still got a lot of pressure. I mean, but they're going to. They're storming the castle like every play. They're really remarkable with how they rush the passer. But I thought they did okay, you know, and got the run game going in the second half when we had the ball a little more and, you know, got in some more positive sort of situations down and distance-wise where you could stay with the run game. I think Derrick Henry had 45 yards on his last seven carries. So, you know, it picked up. What we saw is they didn't completely take us out of what we want to do. And that's exciting, because a team like that, you're expecting them to come in and have a chance to expose you. You know, that's what you fear. I mean, they didn't do that. They beat us, and they slowed the offense down. They made some good plays on defense, but there were still enough things in there. You said, we can do some stuff. Quarterback played well again for us, and A.J. Brown's certainly okay. We're going to keep him. I don't think we're trading him at the deadline next week. Love that guy. Man, I love that player. I love what he brings to us with that swagger he has. Throw me the ball. That's his whole mantra. You love players like that.
Throw me the dang ball.
Yes.
We've got more with Mike Keith coming up. If you have a question or comment about the Titans, 656-9900, 656-9900. Mike's appearance brought to you by Go Forth Tires on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Tell the truth. Isn't this better than hearing Boston's More Than a Feeling for the 10,000th time? 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Our guest, Mike Keith, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Mike's appearance brought to you by Go Forth Tires as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Mike, what do you think of Justin Herbert, how he has played so far with the Chargers?
Do you see what he did last week?
I did.
He threw for 347 and he ran for 66.
Yeah.
I mean the whole mobility aspect of these guys, especially the ones, you know, Burrow's the same way. Burrow became the first quarterback in NFL history, the first rookie that is, to throw for 400 yards and three touchdowns and also rush for a touchdown. And that's what's really amazing about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and all of these sort of new dudes that are coming in. They can run. Not only do they have guns for arms, but they can run. And so they're not statues in the pocket. You can do things with them on bootlegs. I mean, they're not necessarily running quarterbacks. They're not Bobby Douglas or something like that. They're guys who can take off when they need to. They can extend plays. You have to respect their running ability if they do anything with the read option. Herbert is fantastic. And, you know, the whole Tyrod Taylor story was really unlucky. I mean, just awful. But, I mean, it opened the door for the guy who was going to be their future anyway. And I think they're going to be very excited about having him.
Has Kyler Murray been better than you thought he would be?
No, he's great. I think he's great. I thought he was great the first minute I saw him, and I thought to myself, man, if he's going to play baseball, then he must be Derek Jeter, because as a football player, he's just phenomenal. To have the arm this guy has, and the touch, and the speed, and I mean, he's the epitome of the guy who can really, really run, but can really throw as well. What's amazing is, say, 30 years ago, if you were under 6'2 as a quarterback, they wouldn't consider you.
Yeah.
College would. You know, that. I mean, remember Doug Flutie was, Doug Flutie's 5'9 and 3/4. He's amazing. He would play quarterback today. There would be no question about it. You know, the game is designed for those guys. I mean, Russell Wilson's 5'10 and 3/4. Kyler Murray is, what is he, supposedly 5'11", something like that?
Yeah, supposedly.
But that part of it doesn't matter anymore. But, yeah, I mean, I know he made a bunch of money when he measured like 5'10 or so at the combine, because they were really sweating what that was going to be. But, I remember a quarterback, a highly recruited quarterback in the 1980s, who, during the recruiting process, got a perm to look taller. it was that big a deal. He was really 6'1", but the perm made him look 6'3". And that was a real thing. That really happened. And that's a true recruiting story. And today, that wouldn't matter. Because if you can run like these guys can, and you can move the pocket, and how they do the passing game with how they spread it out, Kyler Murray is the prototype for it, because, man, he has an absolute gun. And then, you know, you got a guy like Josh Allen in Buffalo, who's that big guy, that John Elway-sized guy from, you know, Dan Marino-sized guy from years ago, and yet he can run too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there wouldn't place for Peyton Manning today, or there wouldn't be a place for Tom Brady if he were coming out today, that they would find a place for those guys. But just so many of these players today can move. I think, you know, when you look at the great programs in the country, they're recruiting quarterbacks who can run, because they can mask a lot of the things that are wrong with an offense.
What has it been like to see Adoree Jackson on the practice field, and what would it mean if he's able to suit up Sunday?
Well, it would literally mean, John, that he could play at least 40 snaps. And when they got to Friday, we discussed with with Mike Vrabel, and he made it very clear. He said, you know, if he can't give us 35 to 40 snaps, then we can't put him out there, because you're only able to keep so many players up, and you're not going to keep him up to be a backup, because you're not going to play him on special teams. You know, you're not going to have him run down and cover punts. Mm-hmm. So you know, if he plays, you're going to be able to get a lot of plays out of him where they're confident you're going to be able to do that. It changes the makeup of our secondary dramatically. It makes us dramatically better. It doesn't solve all of our problems, but it's very helpful, because I think the big thing it does is it puts everybody back in their proper role. I think we've got some guys who are playing one notch above where they need to have to. You know what I'm saying? And this guy is a number one corner, and all of a sudden, people who maybe aren't that speed corner like he is, they'll be asked to do more of what their skill set will allow them to do. He's a very functional part of our defense and a very important part of our defense. Again, not everything is solved if he comes back, mm-hmm. but I'll take my chances. I bet it's not a 61% conversion rate on third down if he's in there and he's up to a Dory standards.
What are your impressions of the Bengals and Joe Burrow so far this season?
Defensively, they're really banged up. Offensive line's really been banged up. But when you look at Burrow and the decisions that he makes and the toughness that he makes and the throws that he makes and the fact that he's got Tyler Boyd and he's got A.J. Green. Didn't A.J. Green play with Lindsey Scott at Georgia? I mean, he's been in the league for – Didn't Larry Munson say, run, A.J., run? And then T. Higgins, who, I mean, everybody listening to your show knows. So you've got those three receivers. Mike Thomas is a good receiver. Drew Sample's a good tight end. Joe Mixon is a really good back. Giovanni Bernard is a versatile back, can really catch it out of the backfield. I mean, their personnel, in terms of their skill folks, is about as good as anybody's. I'm not saying it's the best, but I'm saying it's probably, with how Joe Burrow's playing, it's probably top 10. So what scares you about them is you could go out and play a great game on offense and lose because they can outscore you. And that they're going to get some people down the stretch. They're going to beat some people in their last nine games. I just don't want it to start this week.
Mike, what was the reaction from the Titans from the $350,000 fine regarding COVID?
You know, what's interesting about that, Jimmy, is that is the fine that everybody has received around the league for game day mask violations. Oh. The teams that have been hit with the game day mask violation, it's been $100,000 for the coach, $250,000 for the team. So what the league found, if you want to draw the correlation, and I will, what the league found is that we had mask violations, which we even said were the case. So, yeah. You know, for everybody who reported that they were going to suspend our general manager and our head coach, and we were going to be fined $10 million and lose a first-round pick, we had a mask violation, period. And that did not cause our outbreak. What happened to us could have happened to anybody. And what the Titans were guilty of, as was contended from the start, is we were very unlucky. And what we hope is that we learned a lot from it, and the other 31 teams in the league learned a lot from it too. But you can tell by the fine that they deemed that we were following protocols the way we were supposed to overall. Could have done a better job with the masks. Should do a better job with the masks. Mm-hmm. But we're not the only one that's had that problem.
Interesting. Do you think Baker Mayfield has turned the corner? He completed like 21 out of 22 or something after a bad start.
Hey, wait. 22 out of 23, his only miss was a spike.
Right, right.
He started 0 for 5.
Yeah.
Against the Bengals. And then, yeah, I was watching the tape on Monday. I'm like, he's completed a bunch in a row, you know, mm-hmm. and then they finally, Spiro Dedis was doing the game on CBS. He goes, he's now hit 20 in a row. It's like 20 in a row.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player. I like I like that guy. I mean, he's another one. He's 6 feet tall, and he can move around. And I'm going to be interested to see what they're going to be like without Beckham, because I always felt like there was this feeling in that offense, whether it was Freddie Kitchens or Kevin Stefanski or whoever's involved, that they felt like they had to feed Odell Beckham, that the mm-hmm. offense had to go through him. And now that it doesn't, will that make it easier? I'm just asking the question. That's a theory. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Mike, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I believe it was Charlie Trippi that hosted A.J. Green on his trip to Georgia. But do appreciate your time.
Unofficial visit.
Yes.
He and Frankie Sandwich. Yes.
Wally Butts was on hand as well.
But, and Dippy Marat.
100%. Good luck to the Titans this week. Have a great call, and we sure do appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Mike Keith. His appearance brought to you by GoForth Tires. Locally, family-owned, and operated for over 47 years, GoForth Tires can outfit any vehicle. If they don't have it, they'll find it. Visit GoForthTire.com.